Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Yeah, it's the long July 4th weekend.
You know, it really is the 4th of July weekend now.
I know it. I know. and it was weird because I know we always joke about, okay, the 4th is on a Friday, so people are going to start to take a half a day on Thursday. I saw, I think it was yesterday, that I think Wednesday was the biggest travel day for the holiday weekend. It was even before I thought it was going to start. So people are really milking this holiday as much as they can.
Let me tell you something. Last weekend, people were doing 4th of July.
What?
Last weekend.
Really?
I'm telling you, there was parades. There was food trucks. There was everything in the world. There was fireworks last weekend.
My word.
I mean, my head is still spinning. And I said, but we don't celebrate before the 4th. Everybody said, oh, yes, we do.
Oh, wow.
And everybody was advertising it. But now this weekend, everybody's advertising all the parades, all the different things they're going to have. And I'm thinking, these cities have spent a lot of money.
Yeah.
So are they going to do 2 weekends? Or will it be just separate people this weekend? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, when you have a holiday on a Friday, or sometimes even a Monday, but especially a Friday, you know, people will, you know, take a little bit of time. Oh, I didn't realize that people were even milking it even further into 2 weekends.
They are. I mean, this is the first time I've ever heard of it happening.
Yeah.
In church on Sunday, Prestonwood Baptist, they celebrated. They had flags everywhere. And they celebrated all of our armed forces.
Oh, wow. How
so
cool.
That was really a neat, neat deal.
Yeah.
I love it when they play all the songs of all the, you know, service deals. I've always loved them. I always get chills when I hear those songs. And my favorite one is the Navy song.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
I loved it. It was beautiful ceremony. And I was shocked. Because I would have thought, you know, again, 4th of July weekend. No, no, no. They couldn't wait.
Apparently not. Apparently this time.
Apparently not.
I'm usually pretty early to holidays, as you know. But boy, I was late to the game on this one. Oh, my.
Well, I've just never seen it happen.
No.
But I know the airports, Addison Airport, they have Kaboom Town. And I know one year we went and sat right there on the runway and watched everything.
Oh, really?
It was spectacular.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
The parking and the getting out of there took 2 hours. So I didn't want to do that one again, but I loved it at the time.
Yeah.
Everybody's advertising parades, children's parades, you know, everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it'll be spectacular, I guess.
It will
and
be.
Everybody. Oh, and the vet is advertising that he has these pills for your dogs to keep them from getting upset.
Oh, really?
Keep them calm. Oh, yeah. Every vet in town is advertising that they have the pills for your pets.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. They said that because, I mean, obviously, you know, with all the fireworks shows last night, you know, that's one thing. But then the people still blast off, you know, fireworks today and then probably some leftovers on tomorrow.
And no, there's a $500 fine in the city.
Ooh.
But apparently they don't care.
No, people don't care.
Or maybe it's catch me if you can.
Yeah, that's it. How you gonna catch them?
Yeah, the vet said everybody needs to come by, get these pills for your puppies where they won't, you know, get nervous and distraught.
Yeah.
Because it does scare a lot of them half to death.
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking to a guy the other day, and he was talking about his dog, and he was going to take him to, I don't know where he was going, someplace with water, and he was going to take him on the boat, you know, to watch the fireworks from the boat with all their friends and all that. And I said, oh, he must be you know, pretty used to the booms of the fireworks and all that. He says, well, I take him hunting with me all the time, so he's used to, like, loud noises and booms and bangs.
Yeah,
and
if
so,
he's used to guns, this won't bother him at all.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, I forget, you know, sometimes we forget about the pets and don't they say that 4th of July weekend is like one of the biggest weekends for, like, not runaway pets, but lost pets or people returning pets that are have escaped or something like that because they're afraid of the fireworks and all the booms and all that, and they get out of their
pens. There's so many out here that escape every day. I can't believe it could get any worse. And they found the turtle. I told you it was lost.
Oh, they did?
It was a big turtle. They had a picture of it today. It was a big old turtle that got lost.
Really?
And they said he was found and he's now at home. But they had a couple of parakeets escape this week. Parakeets were beautiful.
Oh, my.
I don't know if they were talking parakeets or just parakeets. Nobody told me.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, parakeets this week. In addition to all the other things that escape.
You have some of the weirdest things that escape. You know.
I know. I mean, the parakeets, the turtle, you know, and they were so proud to get their turtle back.
Well, I'm glad they got the turtle back. It couldn't have got that far. I mean, they're not exactly speed demons.
That's right, because as slow as they move, I don't know how far away they found him. They didn't say. But they posted a picture of him and said he's back home.
Well, good.
So I was glad about that.
Yeah. Ooh, thank goodness. Maybe all the fireworks.
Call the pet patrol.
The pet patrol. Wow. I'm starting to think you actually need an official pet patrol building, like patrol officers and everything, to get runaway pets.
You know, I think that somebody could make a lot of money if they put in a little place and say, everybody's dog, if you find these dogs, bring it here. We'll hold them till the owner shows up.
Yeah.
And then charge a fee for giving them back.
Yeah.
You know? A little water and food feed or something.
Yeah.
You know, to make it worth their while. If everybody would contribute to that, I think it'd be a nice thing.
Sure. It would be profitable. Of course, anything to do with didn't you say once that anything to do with pets, like especially clothes and things like that?
Oh my gosh, pets is the biggest money maker other than sports for kids.
Yeah,
sports for kids will top it. It's the only thing that will, because all these people right now, the schools, the cities are building sports facilities for children. I mean, billion-dollar deals.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me.
I'm shocked at the money. And it's summer camps. Summer camps has got to be up there, too, because that's
right. We ought to own one of those, too. That $7,000 a week would be pleasant.
Yeah. You could work for, like, 2 months out of the year and take the profits and just, like, lay on the beach forever.
That's right. And say, you know... we've made all we need to make. Let's go home.
Yeah. Shut her down for 10 months. See you
That's
next
right.
year. Wow.
Yeah, why work anymore?
Yeah.
But the other thing it would make even more than that is the sports facilities.
That's true.
Because they are charging a fortune.
Are they really?
And then they have tournaments. Well, it's several thousand to enroll your son in a baseball organization.
Really?
And
that
then
much?
In the summer, they, oh my gosh, yes. It's $3,000 to $5,000.
Oh my word. I didn't realize that.
If they want them to be a professional ball player, this is real deals.
Wow.
And they start them, I think, at 12, and it goes to 16, I think.
Oh my gosh.
And they have the people from the ball camps. The major leagues come and look at them.
Really? Like for scouting or for training?
Yeah, they have scouts that come.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, this is big stuff.
Wow.
It's not your backyard deal.
No, it's not just picking a field outside of town and throwing a ball.
No, no, no. These are professionals, and they have like 7 or 8 coaches.
Oh, my word. Really?
Yes. And then in the summer... they have tournaments in Florida, in Colorado, and Oklahoma.
Oh, my gosh. I had no idea. I thought...
I mean, it's big.
Oh, wow. I guess I've been out of...
here at Roanoke, they've announced they're building a $250 million sports facility.
Really? $250 million?
Yes.
Is it for not like a camp, is it? Or is it?
No, it's not a camp. It'll be a year-round deal.
Oh, my word.
And I don't know if it'll be through the schools or the city or what, But it's a big facility coming in.
Wow. And now the equipment, I'm assuming, must be top of the line kind of stuff, I would guess.
Oh, yes, it's got to be.
Wow.
And remember, a baseball camp doesn't take a lot. You've got your batting cages, your balls, your baseball bats, your uniforms. That's basically it.
Yeah. Huh. Wow.
And now the facilities are indoors where they can teach all year.
Wow. So
see what you missed? It's come a long way.
Apparently so. I remember when I went to, sports camp, in the summer, and it was literally down at the village park and you threw a ball.
Oh, yeah. You're way behind.
Yeah.
Man, you're way behind.
Wow.
It's professional now. One of my granddaughters is on a soccer league, and
really?
And it's a professional. She hopes to get a scholarship to a soccer to college.
Oh, my word.
I don't know if she's good enough, but she's good enough that they picked her for this team.
Wow, that's impressive. Congratulations on that.
And she's an honor roll student.
Really?
Yes.
At the same time? Usually it's one or the other. That's amazing.
No, I mean, she is very, very smart, thank goodness. And she's smartest of all the grandkids. The others are not doing near that well. I mean, they're not where she's at, let me put it that way.
Clearly she's not in the room either, is she?
No, she's not in the room either. But they're not either. We don't want them to hear that.
Oh, no.
But she is, thank goodness, she's very, very smart. And she's kept her grades up and doing volleyball, too.
Wow. To be able to do sports like that and keep your grades up to the level she's at, I mean, that's hard to do.
She has to be at school at 7:30 in the morning.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's an incredible feat to do. So
it is. I mean, to devote your time and get up at 5:30 in the morning to get to school by 7:30 and practice before school, and then she does a lot of night practicing.
Wow, that's a long day. That takes a lot of dedication.
It's a long day. It takes a lot out of a kid, but it keeps her where she's at, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's like a built-in babysitter, but different.
That's right. We know where she's at, and she's not on the street somewhere, so that's important.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Wow, that's awesome. Congratulations on that. That's really cool.
Hope she can keep that up.
Oh, I'm sure she will. I mean, gosh, I mean, how long has she been doing that kind of
for a year now.
Yeah. And she, I'm guessing that's probably where her passion lies, is why she's dedicated. So.
And she wanted to be a marine biologist, but she fell it out. They don't make much.
Oh.
So I don't know what she's going to do. She said, my gosh, they don't make very much.
Wow.
Like all girls, she wants to make money.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's true, but not many people play sports and want to be a marine biologist and then don't, not because they don't qualify or aren't smart enough, but only because they don't make enough money. That's kind of
funny.
That's
right. She said, I'm going to have to do something else. They don't make much money.
Wow. Oh, my word. Well, yeah, at least she thought through the process and found out now instead of, when she's 50.
Yeah, you don't want to get the degree then find out you can't even make a living, can't make it work.
Wow. Well, I mean, she was smart enough to do the research now, so I'm sure she'll do just fine whatever she picks out.
Well, I hope so.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
All right. So what's the deal this week? I know it was kind of a short week because of the holiday, but I'm sure good things happen.
We're bidding on policies. We got that other policy in for $1.2 million they come due. That's in their bank account.
Oh, wow.
So they've got a lot more. They've got $1 million, $1.2 million more than they had last week.
Wow.
So that's a good thing. And we've got one more to go that's $1.5 million, but I don't think it'll be hitting the bank for a couple more weeks.
Oh, okay.
So, but they've got a lot of money to invest. It's there. It's in their accounts. And, that, you know, it's ready to go.
Cool. You know, and that's one of the things I think, because I know you've had some, you always draw the line or the comparison between the investors that are heavily invested and always when a policy matures, the money gets in the bank, they turn around, they reinvest it, and they keep doing that with every single policy they're in. And it's almost like they're in, what would be the word? Their wealth is growing faster, I guess. They're in high speed.
It is.
Whereas,
because, you know, they go ahead and reinvest all the time. So their money is fully invested. They've got interest income coming all the time. Then we've got some people that are on the sidelines, sitting there on the sidelines, and they don't realize that if they leave it in cash, they're not making as much money as they could make if it was invested.
Yeah. And
so, you know, it's I don't know what changes their mind sometimes.
Well, yeah, and sometimes you've had people that they'll be, you know, heavily invested, and then all of a sudden, I don't know, maybe they go on vacation, or they forget, or they get busy, or don't check email, or whatever the case may be, and then they kind of start to slow down a little bit, and then, you know, it's like if they were to, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm just kind of surmising how it looks from the outside looking in, but if they were to reinvest heavily, their wealth growth would accelerate, and they would start, you know, building their portfolio faster and have more, I guess, not only for retirement, but after.
More interest income, yes.
Yeah, interest as well. And so it's not even just the investment itself. It's the interest as well. So, I mean, I don't know. It seems like maybe, I don't know. I know, and people don't have to get into, I know you've said there are some investors that are like 20 and 30 policies at a time. People don't necessarily have to, when we say re-engage or, you know, start, you know, investing in more policies, kind of get off the sideline a little bit, doesn't mean 20 or 30 policies. That's just kind of a comparison of your biggest investors are in that kind of range.
Let's say need 5 or 6, you know.
Yeah.
If they start with 2, that's fine. But after they find out how it works, and that it does work, you know, they're going to want to put more money, and that happens all the time.
Yeah. Is it fair to say that maybe sometimes when you have new investors who have never done life settlements before, maybe they come in and they maybe get in one, see how it works, kind of understand the process, and then maybe they get in 2, and then maybe they get in 3, and then another one comes in, and then they're in 4. Now, all of a sudden, new investors are making money faster than the ones that maybe have kind of gone off to the sidelines or got distracted or busy or something like that. Is that a fair comparison even for the new ones?
Probably so. You know, I have a lot of people that maybe they'll go on vacation, they're busy at work, they don't answer, so we pass them up. We just go on to somebody else. So that money is still sitting there. But then we may come back a month or two later and say, well, you know, let's send them an invitation on the new policy, and they may go in that policy when we couldn't even reach them before. So a lot of people call and say, you know, we haven't had a new policy in a while. Can we get in on something? So we're always trying to accommodate everybody, get them in a policy, get them to making money at all times.
Yeah.
And then when they have maturities, you know, we tell them immediately they have a maturity, how much is went in their bank account.
And, you know, it's always life settlements have always been a very conservative investment. They've always done very, very well for people. I would say probably those that maybe were, I don't know, maybe more actively investing many, many years ago, say 5 or 10 years ago even, maybe they've kind of gone on the sidelines and got distracted with life and got busy with other things. I would say probably new investors are seeing, they're coming in at a level that the data itself is more precise. The LEs are more precise. And so that's their first exposure, I guess, to a life settlement type of investment. And so they're seeing the advancements already, not really having anything else to compare it to, and saying, oh, wow, as a new investor in this, I wish I had done this earlier. Is that kind of what people are thinking?
Well, I think they really like it once they start, because starting in 22, everything improved. So 23, 24, everything's improved a lot. But like the $4 million that we had come due this month, a lot of them were on time, and a couple of them were early.
Yeah.
Like one policy came in 20 months instead of 26.
Yeah.
So it didn't even go the full distance. So they got paid a little earlier. They made a little more money by getting it early. So
yeah.
That's always a great thing.
It is. And you know, it's just like people, I would say more and more people, I'm getting from things that I read and the studies that I see and polls that I read and all this, when you kind of put it all together and you try to, you know, create a big portfolio or a profile of what people in the country just in general are doing, it seems like more and more people are getting a little bit maybe skittish about the current situations and maybe looking for maybe other alternatives that are a little bit more conservative. And this,
well,
is
this
a great
is
way.
Probably the most conservative thing in the world.
Yeah.
Because remember, this is an investment in a life insurance policy. It's not real estate. It's not stocks. You know, it's not mutual funds. It's a lot more reliable because it's a life insurance policy on someone that's ill, someone that's got cancer. And then we use A-rated life insurance companies. They're big. They're huge. They've been in business, some of them, 100 years.
Mm.
And it makes a big difference whether you've got mutual funds, stocks, all the things that the, you know, the brokers offer. It depends how much you can tolerate as far as risk. And our people don't want a lot of risk. So they want something that's safe, reliable, and that they can do it at any age. You know, it's safe enough for someone, doesn't matter how old they are.
Yeah. And, you know, even on days where, say, the stock market is, you know, say, doing well, you know, people, you know, look around and say, wow, the stock market is doing well, but this long-time business is going under. This business is declared bankruptcy. This business is closing stores. This, you know, and you see these well-established businesses that have been around for, I would say, probably most of our lives, you know, names that we're familiar with and have been for decades. You start to see them start to scale back or close their doors altogether. People have to be saying, I'm not, you know, based on that, you know, even if the stock market is doing well today, at some point, this is all going to catch up and it might be the early brewings of a storm for maybe something else that might be happening. And people might be looking at all that as a big picture and saying, you know, I'm a little bit unsure. And when people get unsure, they start to either pull back or look for something more conservative. And a life insurance policy, a life settlement investment, has nothing to do with anything. So if you know, say a store that's been around for a million years goes bankrupt and the stock market pancakes or whatever, a life insurance policy is completely self-contained and it's not affected at all. Am I saying that the right way?
Well, and, you know, this week Del Monte declared bankruptcy. I thought it was the end of the world because, you know, I've used Del Monte all my life. I love Del Monte. And there were some other companies. But remember, they have products to sell. And that's, you know, it's a little risky when you're a big, big company and, you know, they've got plants all over. They've got farmers all over. So they have a lot of risk, even as big as they are, and it caught up with them. So a life insurance policy, I think, is one of the safest things that there is. You don't hear of a life insurance company, these big companies going under.
Mm-mm.
Because they're so conservative. They don't have products like vegetables to sell. You know, they don't have cars to sell. You know, they don't have all this risk of retail that everybody has. Retail is a tough deal.
Yeah.
And like Kroger, all these others. You know, when Kroger didn't make the merger with Albertsons, they lost $400 million.
Really?
Yes. They spent that much money trying to put the merger together. $400
wow.
million.
Oh, my word.
So now Kroger's closing all their stores.
Really?
You know, they're going to close 60 stores.
Oh, my gosh. Really? I didn't realize
that. Up north's a lot different than what it is here. It's kind of like being in New Jersey. and Kroger said they had these stores, and all the employees got mad and walked off the job.
Oh, my word. Really?
I mean, they had to close the stores. They had no employees.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's radical. I mean, I can't imagine.
Ooh. Boy, that's...
But I would not want to have anything retail, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Because you're dealing with tons of employees.
Yeah. You got employees and you got inventory that you have to purchase. And if you don't sell it...
That's the whole deal, is inventory and employees.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, the overhead is crazy.
Yeah. And Starbucks is having a problem. They said they were going to boycott, let's see, Home Depot this week, Amazon, and Starbucks, because they're unhappy. See, this just,
really?
We've got these radicals in America.
These are huge companies. I can't believe.
And they're good companies.
Yeah.
You know, everybody loves coffee. They love Starbucks. I love Amazon.
Yeah.
You know? And for these people to boycott them is just crazy.
Yeah. And isn't Amazon...
I hope it doesn't work. I hope it doesn't hurt their bottom line.
Oh, yeah. I hope not. Amazon's laying off a bunch of people, aren't they?
Well, Microsoft's laying off 9,000.
Oh, my word. Really?
Microsoft announced today 9,000 people.
Wow. That's...
Can you imagine?
I cannot. No. I mean...
Whew. It's the big companies that are doing all this. It's not the mom and pop deals. It's the ones that are public companies.
Boy, these are just not numbers that I would ever have thought I would ever be seeing. So, yeah, I mean, these big companies that have been around forever and ever, you know, there's weird things that are going on that we never thought we'd see in our lifetime.
They must have huge debt. That's the only thing I can figure out.
Yeah.
Is they must have borrowed a lot of money.
Must have. I mean, it's...
And then the notes came due and they couldn't pay.
I'm shocked. I mean, with as much business as they do in revenue, you would think that that they would have enough to cover, you know, the notes.
That's
if that's
right,
the deal.
You would.
I mean, gosh, their revenue numbers are through the roof. I don't have them memorized, obviously, but I mean, it's not like they're... Well, I mean, maybe they're seeing a dip in sales. I don't know. I think I'm just assuming.
and maybe the labor got so high that Del Monte just... I couldn't tolerate it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but they started closing their factories last year in 24.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, because I remember reading about it.
Wow.
So
that was
now
under my
radar.
They're
coming in and closing a lot more.
I'm shocked at the cutbacks that are happening. I never thought I'd see Del Monte on the list. That's for sure.
I would never believe that in my wildest.
Yeah. I mean, that's just a staple. So all these things, you know, all these variables affect all these big companies. When you're talking about investments and we're talking about how a life settlement is in a bubble and it's not affected by anything, whenever a policy matures, they don't all of a sudden decide, well, just discount it. We'll pay 70%. Or based on market conditions, today we'll pay 60%. It doesn't work that way. They pay the full 100% every single time. And this is also just as important, they have the reserves on hand, so they don't need to go borrow it or, you know, take out a loan or get it out of, you know, some other investment that they're in. They have the reserves on hand, which those two factors alone, I would think, would make a life settlement one of the most smartest.
Desirable. One of the most desirable investments for our day and time, because it's conservative. It's in a life insurance policy, which is safe as you can get. The accounts are at Nevada Trust. We have a trustee handling that. So your money is safe any way you look at it.
Yeah.
If it's in the bank, it's safe. If it's invested, it's safe. And you know you'll get paid. You know it's in a life insurance policy. These are A-rated companies. They're billion-dollar companies. It's not just, you know, like over here in a stock that you don't see or don't know. It's not like all the investments that are touted every day of our life.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it makes sense on every single level. So what happens is you go out and you're not taking anybody's policy. People are putting their policies up for sale. You're bidding on them. And if
because
you get awarded,
they're sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we're not stealing their policy. You know, it just doesn't make sense that people would not be in a conservative investment in this day and time.
Yeah. You know,
because you can do it Roth. You can do a regular IRA. You can do a joint account with your wife.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many ways to do it.
There are.
And you're diversified all the time. Your money's not all in one investment. It's in many, many investments.
Yeah. And then on top of that, then you've got, you know, annuities that are, you know, super conservative, and they've just gotten better and better. And it's not one of those, you know, at least I don't see many, you know, commercials. There's not a whole lot of hype around annuities, generally speaking, where people are going, wow, this is exciting and fun. It's like riding a roller coaster or anything like that. It's it's kind of an under the radar, sleepy kind of investment. But it's conservative, and you've got the stopgap. In case something happens, you don't lose your principal. You preserve that. You don't have to get up in the middle of the night and wonder if you have anything left in your portfolio. Annuities are wonderful. I mean, I'm sure
you don't have to check them every month or every day.
Yeah.
It'll take care of itself. And, you know, it's tax deferred. You don't pay any tax until you take it out. It's that compound interest you've got. And it's, you know, a company that's been in business 100. I believe it's 118 now.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it's been in business a long, long time. It's owned by a company in Dallas, Texas. Employees are also part owner of it. I read that the other day. I didn't even know that.
Really?
So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh.
I didn't either. So I guess it happened this year or maybe last year. I don't know. But, you know, diversification. Everything in your policy is diversified. You're not in one investment. You're in many, many investments. That's why it's safe. And it's never in the stock market. It just mirrors the stock market. So that's why an annuity covers every base you're looking at. Covers all everything that could happen is in an annuity.
And they're also flexible. You know, I wonder if people think sometimes, well, I'm going to get in this annuity and I can't change anything after I set it up. If you have, and this happens all the time, but say you have a falling out with somebody in the family, you know, you can change your beneficiary at any time. If you have, what is there, 14 different options?
About 14. There's a lot of different choices.
Yeah.
And every year we can change it, or sometimes people leave it the same, you know, all the way through.
Yeah.
They like what it's making, so they don't make the changes. But every year we can change it. If something happens and another option is better, we'll do it because you're diversified in a lot of different things. It's not invested in just one thing.
Hmm. And we're not talking about...
And we didn't even talk about the bonus.
I know it.
The bonus that still gets that 14%, folks, which really makes it nice.
Yeah. I mean... It seems like, you know, last December-ish, there were some rumors that the bonuses might be going away. And here we are, you know, 7 months later, and they're still in full effect. And so the 14...
We didn't have this last year,
yeah,
as you know.
I know it.
We had great annuities, but they didn't give that extra bonus.
Yeah.
And this year they've stuck with it, and they haven't discounted it yet, and it hadn't gone away.
Yeah, and that's just extra money. On top of what you already make from the actual annuity itself.
That's right. It really gives you a good start to get that extra 14% that first year.
Yeah. Yeah. And so.
And it can be a lot of money depending how much you put in your annuity.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that compound interest, you know, it's just money on top of money. So.
It is. We don't know if you're going to start taking money out immediately. If you don't want to take anything out for several years, or if you want lifetime income, there's so many ways to do it.
And there's tax benefits.
It's not written in stone just one way.
Yeah. There's flexibility. There's options. You don't pay taxes until, you better say this part because I'll mess this up.
You don't pay taxes till you take it out.
Yeah.
When you start pulling money out, you pay taxes on it, but not until.
So
now then, if you're 73 and a half, you're going to have to take money out.
Yeah.
You have to take your RMD out. But if you're not, if you're 60 or 65, you don't have to take anything out for 5 years if you don't want to.
Yeah. Or if you do, you can take some out every year.
You take 10% a year at the end of the first 12 months.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's consistent. It's solid. You got the benefits. You've got the options. You've got the bonuses. I can't think of any downside to an annuity
at all. Because you can change your beneficiaries. Like if one of you dies, the other one can continue.
Yeah.
And like if somebody dies and the heirs need it, you can cash it in right away. It takes about 10 days to cash in an annuity if the person is on there. The beneficiaries can get it right away if they need it.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you can set it up for yourself, obviously. If somebody passes away, you can set it up, so that somebody has, like the spouse or something, can have, regular an investment that's solid. There are also people, though, that set things up with the intention of building like a kid or a grandkid's college fund. You can set some of those things up as well.
We've done that several times. I had several people that had like 5 to 10 grandchildren, and we started them off with $10,000 apiece for every grandchild.
Oh my word!
Yeah, we put $10,000, and it grew and grew. And when they went to college, this was their college fund.
Yep, I bet
that the grandparents gave them.
Boy, I would guess starting at that amount, I would guess probably by the time it was time for college, they had more than enough they needed. So,
they did because they went to local colleges and they took out some. I believe it was quarterly is how they took it.
So, it's we're in a place right now where, you've seen just about every market condition there ever could possibly be over the years since you've been doing both life settlements and annuities. And no matter what the condition is, both investment options have held. Not only have they held, but people have thrived when other people not in these types of investments have been losing money hand over fist. Or at least we're up all night worrying about losing money. And you don't have to. It's all about protecting the principal. And that's really the whole
goal. You've got to protect your principal, and you've got to be diversified.
Yeah.
And this is completely diversified. It's never all in one investment. And what I like is if the stock market goes down, this just holds right there.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't lose anything. And if you can't lose anything, you've got the battle won.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really, if you can sleep at night knowing that when you wake up tomorrow, you're not going to lose anything. I can't think
that
of any.
That is real, real important. Really important.
It is. I mean, my goodness, that's about the best that you could ever hope for. So, and then on top of that, not only do you have to, sleep with ease, knowing that you're not going to lose anything, but knowing that you could be growing even while you're sleeping, while other people are losing money. It's just
and
both options.
If it didn't do anything but protect your principal.
Yeah.
That would be a big blessing right there.
Just
but to know that you're going to make money every year, that you're going to get interest every year, and that you can take money out every year. I mean, I don't think there's a better investment in the whole world.
Yeah. I mean, I can't think of anything. So,
they're not in the retail business. They don't have canned goods.
Yeah.
They don't have real estate to sell. They don't have real estate to rent. They don't own any apartments. I mean, this is a life insurance policy.
Yeah, yeah.
You're and not investing anything wild.
No. We understand it. It's all mapped out. It's right there on paper, and you don't have to scratch your head thinking, well, I don't know what I'm in. I don't know what this is.
And everything is in writing.
Yeah.
I don't just tell you something. Anything I tell you, it will be in the policy.
Yeah. I mean, it's very well buttoned up, and so people don't have to worry about walking away thinking, gosh, I don't really know what I just signed. I don't know what this is. It's all right there. It's all laid out, and say a policy matures. People know immediately when this policy matures, whenever it is, they know, okay, then this is going to happen, and then this is going to happen, and then this person gets this much, this person gets this much. It's all mapped out ahead of time, so nobody's, wondering, oh, my gosh, this policy matured. Now what do we do? All that is already, that's part of the reason why it's such a quick turnaround, is that it's
and
all.
You know, a lot of people, we've set it up where they're going to take a pay out. But, grandkids are a strange lot. They want to get their hands on that money. So a lot of them are going to cash it in, and the person is whirling around in their grave. Because they didn't want it to happen that way, but sometimes it does.
Yes, sometimes it does, and you can only protect people from themselves so far.
That's right. You can do your best, but it's not 100% proof.
No, we are our own worst enemy sometimes.
That's right.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
Well, it's an interesting story. Do you remember Jimmy Rogers, the singer?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you understand, he was popular in the 20s and 30s. They said he was as popular as Elvis ever was or the Beatles.
Yeah.
And he was born in Mississippi in 1897.
Whoa, really?
But he declared in song that Texas is a state I dearly love.
Yeah.
And he moved here in 1929.
Wow.
And he grew up, he was the son of a railroad guy. And he won a singing contest when he was 14. And the kid ran away from home. He did not want to work for the railroad, and he joined a traveling medicine show before his father could put him to work. And then in 1927, he was 27 years old. That's when he was diagnosed with tuberculosis. And they told him, he probably wouldn't live to be an old person. So he was really, conscious of the fact that he needed to make hay while the sun shines. So that's what started his career. He had a lot of songs, blues, folk songs, country, western. He did everything. He played on street corners, tent revivals, tent shows, anywhere he could. And then he joined the Timberview Ramblers and started playing with them. And of course, this is early. This is in the 20s, as you know. And they heard that R.C. Victor said that they had this machine, and it was doing records. And they go, well, heck, we could like to do a recording. they're so naive. So they went to Bristol, Tennessee, and they went there, but they didn't do real well. And the people said, we don't play country western because we don't have any of it. Wow. So the two songs he recorded in Bristol didn't go over very well. But then he went to Camden, New Jersey.
Oh, boy.
And recorded a song, T for Texas. And that's what made him a star.
Wow.
Yeah. So then he recorded in his lifetime, and it was a short life, 100 songs.
Really? 100 songs?
He did 100 songs.
Oh.
And of course, Jailhouse Now is one of my favorites. And Frankie and Johnny, you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And those were big sellers. He sold 10 million records.
Really? 10 million? You got to be kidding me.
No, 10 million in his short life.
And
of course, his health was getting worse all the time. Back then, they didn't know what to do with tuberculosis. And he was touring in the Southwest, every Texas town he could. It didn't matter how big or how small. and after a performance in Temple in 1929, he returned to his motel and started singing out the window. He drew such a crowd, the cops came. And then he moved to Kerrville in 1929. He thought maybe the Texas Hill Country, you know, would give him some relief from his tuberculosis. But it wasn't. It was slowly killing him.
Yeah.
He built a house at the intersection of West Main and Jackson, and he called it the Blue Yodeler's Paradise.
Cool.
By 1933, he was gone. He was ailing. And he said, well, I'm going to go do 12 more songs. And he traveled to New York City and recorded them. And his last song was May 24th, and he passed away 2 days later.
Really? Oh, wow.
But they said he was more popular than anybody in his time. That included Merle Haggard, Ernest Tubb, Johnny Cash. But he was more popular than any of them.
Wow. I didn't realize. What was he, what'd you say? He sold 10 million records?
10 million records. From 1927 to 34.
My word. I mean, that is a lot of that's pretty good for right now, let alone.
I mean, it'd be good right now for anybody.
Yeah.
10 million records.
I mean, my
I don't know
word.
What price he sold them at, but he was more popular than any of the guys that came after him. They said, other than Elvis Presley.
Wow.
He surpassed everybody. They said, think about Elvis in the 50s and the Beatles in the 60s.
Jeez. I'm just...
And back then they said you'd buy a pound of butter, a slab of bacon, a sack of flour, and the new Rogers record. I mean, you had to get the whole deal.
Oh, wow.
So when you went to the store, you picked up that Jimmy Rockers record. And that's why he sold 10 million copies. When they went to the store for butter and eggs, they got him a new Rogers record.
I mean, that's a deal.
That's the way it was.
I'd take that deal all day, every day.
Oh, everybody would. I mean, you know, the housewives, you know, when they went, they got one of his records.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, but, my word.
And I loved that Frankie and Johnny one. I always loved it.
Oh,
it's one of my favorites.
Oh, it's classic.
But in the jailhouse now, that was great.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably his two most popular songs.
Yeah. You don't hear music like that anymore. And just the fact that we're talking about almost, I mean, not quite, but almost 100 years ago, I mean, that really puts...
That's right. Can you imagine? It was the start of records. It was the start of recording studios, and he got in at the very start.
Yeah. I mean, then you got to think to yourself, at least on some point, back then when records were just starting, how many people actually had a record player, you know?
That's exactly right. I imagine they were, lots of times they just had to listen on the radio.
Yeah.
But some of them had to have because they were buying his records at the grocery store.
Yeah. I got to wonder on some level, were people buying the records that didn't even have a thing to play them on? Just
that would
because
be hilarious, wouldn't it?
It was so great.
Oh, my gosh. But, you know, it was in the 20s and 30s, which we can't even think back that far.
Yeah.
But they say he was the father of country music.
Yeah.
And yodeled his way into hearts of Texas.
What was his house? The Blue Yodeler or what?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right, that's cool. That's really, really cool.
And so he was in the radio station in 1927 when they went up there to do a recording. And, you know, he played on street corners, they said. He played in tents, you know, wherever he could get anybody to listen.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so strange how they had to do it back then. You know, you really, really had to make an impression, and you had to do it in person because you didn't have, you know, TikTok or, you know, Facebook videos.
No, you didn't send in your recording.
No. You didn't send in your recording.
No, you didn't send those in. And you didn't have the VCR and the car to play it on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it may sound like, oh, you know, 10 million records, but my word, what he had to do to get those kind of sales and to, you know, be even more popular than everybody except Elvis. That is a really big feat, you know, especially
and
back
that
then.
Blue Yodel number one, it sold 500,000 copies.
Golly.
That one song, Blue Yodel One, sold 500,000 copies.
Wow. I mean, that's...
And he recorded 100 songs and sold 10 million copies.
Yeah. And that's another thing. I didn't realize he'd recorded 100 songs. I mean, I didn't know that... You think about his lifespan.
He was busy.
Yeah.
And for a young guy that was halfway sick, he was working hard.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm shocked that he was actually recording songs 2 days before he died. It's just.
Yeah. He went up there and recorded 12 songs and died 2 days later.
Wow. Man.
At 35 years old.
I mean, Jimmy Rogers, for having such a short life, he really did. I would say it would take most people probably double his lifetime to accomplish what they did in that time.
Yeah,
period.
And 10 million records, that's unheard of.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't hear about anybody selling that many anymore.
No.
But it was a new thing, you know?
Yeah.
Recordings were so new, and radios. Where it was in the infancy.
Yeah. And for them to just kind of, what it sounds like, haphazardly record one, you know, if they're going, heck, let's make a recording. You know, I mean?
Yeah, let's go over here and see if we can record this.
Yeah. It's like, oh, my word. You know, to us, it's just so part of every day. But back then, it was so much different than it is now. And so... He really packed a full lifetime into a very short.
And it didn't tell if he apparently never did have anybody represent him.
Really?
You know, he never talked about it.
He did it all by himself.
You know, like Elvis and all these people had to have a big manager. You know.
Yeah.
And they took a big part of their earnings.
Wow! Talk about a true.
He didn't
want
to work for the railroad, so that's when he ran away. But then he won that little contest at 14.
Yeah. My goodness. I mean, it's so weird how little things at the time may not seem like they're that big a deal, but small little things that are insignificant in the moment turn out to be life-altering events. And had that not happened, who knows what would have, you know,
it'd have been back working at the dadgum railroad.
Yeah, which he hated anyway.
I mean, if he hadn't been so talented.
So.
But can you imagine, he won that little talent deal. And he knew then he could sing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just getting that voice out to everybody else and let them know he can sing.
And it didn't matter where it was, he would sing.
Yeah. Even outside hotel windows.
That's right. I mean, you know, they had to call the police. He gathered so many people.
There were riots in the streets.
Yeah. Oh, and he
awesome.
Was way before his time.
Yeah, he was.
Know?
Yeah. I can see.
His time.
Why they call him the? I mean, it's just for him to take a genre of music, have no tools to work with, do it all by himself, and that kind of a grassroots effort. That's a big deal. That is really
an
accomplishment.
Start off at 14, run away from home, start singing on street corners wherever, and to really make something of yourself in a short time.
Yeah. I am super. I have a whole new appreciation now for Jimmy Rogers that I didn't have before. So, my word!
But you didn't know what all he'd done.
No, I had no idea.
And what he really made of his life, which we don't hear a lot about it. We hear his music every once in a while, but I didn't know anything about him.
No,
you know how it all came about.
I didn't either. I didn't know how he did it. I didn't even know he made 100 songs or 100 recordings. I had no idea.
Yeah, 100 recordings.
Wow.
And sold 10 million records. That's unheard of.
Shocking. Wow.
It is shocking.
This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Well, I kind of think now that this afternoon when I go to fire up some meat on the grill, I may have to crank me some Jimmie Rodgers.
If you've still got any.
I'm in the mood now. Wow, that's cool. All right, before we wrap, I know we were talking about all the wonderful benefits of not only annuities, but also life settlements as well. You said that there's really not a whole lot of risk with annuities. There's not really anything that...
No, there's not. I mean, I don't know what could be a risk. As long as your principal's guaranteed, you don't have a risk.
Yeah.
As long as they will guarantee to keep your principal safe.
Yeah. And it's not exactly the same with a life settlement. It is still a very, very conservative investment. But there's two things that you like people to know ahead of time. So what's the first?
You have to tell them. The biggest risk is it could go over and you might have to pay premium. You should always know how much the premium is in advance. So that's important. The other thing is it is not liquid until it matures every time. So when it's invested, you can't take it out until it matures.
All right. Not really.
Then you must be accredited. Remember that.
Yeah.
You must be accredited. So you must be worth $1 million or you must make $200,000 a year. Either one will qualify you. You don't have to have both.
Okay. Any type of accreditation or qualification for annuities or just...
Not really. You can't put 100% of your money in, and you must have money at home. You have to have emergency money. That's a requirement.
Okay. Well, it's pretty straightforward. And for you, it's no more holidays next week, so it's business as usual. Now, assuming you don't party too hard this weekend.
That's right. Too many Dr. Peppers might do it.
You sick off Dr. Pepper. I'm not coming in today.
That's right. You got to watch them.
So if anybody wants to call, get started, come in for some information, or if they're ready to go, either way, they do need to make an appointment. So one last time, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.